Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Office Space Solutions Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Samit Dhir from Ambit Capital Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Ambit Capital, I would like to welcome you all to the third quarter and nine-month FY26 earnings conference call of Office Space Solutions Limited. From the management, we have with us Mr. Amit Ramani, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Sumit Lakhani, CEO, Mr. Ravi Dugar, CFO, and Mr. Sumit Rochlani, Deputy CFO. We would like to now begin the call with opening remarks from the management, post which we will have the forum open for an interactive Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Amit and Sumit.
Thank you, Samit. Good evening and very warm welcome to everyone present on the call. Along with me, I have Mr. Sumit Lakhani, our CEO, Mr. Ravi Dugar, our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sumit Rochlani, our Deputy Financial Officer, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. Before we begin, we would like to place on record our sincere appreciation for the valuable contribution and leadership of Mr. Ravi Dugar during his tenure with the company. We thank him for his dedication and the role he has played in strengthening the company's financial framework. I would like to also inform you that the board has appointed Mr. Sumit Rochlani as the Chief Financial Officer of the company, effective February 3rd, 2026. Based on the recommendations of the Nomination and Remuneration Committee, Mr. Rochlani brings over 14 years of experience across audit, controllership, financial planning and analysis, corporate finance, and indirect taxation. Having previously served as Head of Finance at Office, he brings valuable continuity and deep understanding of the business as he steps into this role. Coming to our quarterly performance, we have uploaded our Q3 FY26 results and presentation on the exchanges, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. Let me start with a brief overview of the business for the year. As India's largest flexible workspace provider, Office delivers a strong performance amid buoyant commercial real estate environment. This is supported by a record office leasing of 82 million sq ft in 2025 across major Indian cities, driven by sustained demand from domestic enterprises and GCCs. These are operating across technology, BFSI, engineering, and emerging new sectors. In Q3 FY26, Office continues to maintain its strong growth trajectory supported by sustained client demand, healthy occupancy levels, and operational efficiency. Revenue for the quarter grew 20% year-on-year to 382 crores, while EBITDA increased 30% to 139 crores, with margins expanding by 270 basis points on a year-on-year basis, reflecting improved scale efficiencies, a higher share of mature centers, and a favorable operating leverage. Our coworking and allied services segment continued to lead growth, rising 32% year-on-year to rupees 322 crores and contributing 84% of the total revenue. This momentum was driven by our ability to maintain high occupancy levels across an expanded seat base, coupled with strong traction from GCCs and enterprise clients. Additionally, the construction and fit-out projects further referenced as Office Transform segment contributed rupees 60 crores during the quarter. Revenues there saw a decline primarily due to temporary project deferrals and execution delays linked to GRAP 4 pollution norms, as well as lower managed aggregation seat addition during the nine-month FY26 versus last year. Looking ahead, the demand for Office Transform remains strong. The third-party pipeline currently spans about 9 lakh sq ft, translating roughly into 200 crores of revenue opportunity, while the managed aggregation-linked Transform pipeline covers about 4 lakh sq ft of upcoming supply. With project execution expected to normalize and multiple large mandates moving into active delivery, this segment is positioned for a strong recovery trajectory. Our geographic expansion strategy continues to strengthen our pan-India presence. Today, we stand tall with 257 centers, nearly 177,000 seats across 18 cities, serving a diverse base of 3,400 client companies, from dynamic startups, emerging enterprises, to large corporates and GCCs. We continue to focus on Grade A buildings and premium locations, aligning with evolving requirements of GCCs and large enterprises. 100% of the new supply was on Grade A and A-minus assets, with a rising share of gold and elite formats, reinforcing premium enterprise-led positioning. Our Tier 2 seat capacity grew by 16% year-on-year, showcasing the growing acceptance and adoption of flexible workplace models beyond traditional metropolitan centers. On the industry front, a structural shift underway is growing preference for flexibility. Occupiers are increasingly seeking speed to market, capital efficiency, compliance readiness, and scalability requirements that traditional real estate models often struggle to meet. Flexible workplace solutions have therefore transitioned from being tactical or interim arrangements to becoming a core component of enterprise real estate strategy. Flexible workspaces currently account for roughly 1/6 of total new office leasing in India and are expected to approach almost 1/5 of over the near term. A powerful structural demand driver continues to be the rapid expansion of global capability centers in India. Global enterprises are increasing scale, their India presence through GCC, supported by countries' deep talent pool and structural cost advantages, with GCC is expected to account for approximately 40% of the total office absorption in 2026. Importantly, this demand is becoming more broad-based, extending beyond large multinationals to include mid-market global firms, global unicorns, and emerging new age sectors. The momentum is further reinforced by recent measures announced in the Union Budget 2026, aimed at improving long-term tax certainty for multinational corporations. Key among these is the introduction of the long-term tax holiday for foreign companies delivering global digital and cloud services using India-based infrastructure, which significantly reduces uncertainty around future tax liabilities and strengthens India's attractiveness as a global operating base. In parallel, the budget introduced transfer pricing norms applicable to multinational corporations, improving tax clarity and predictability for global enterprises operating services in India, technology and capability centers, which are being driven from here. These measures significantly enhance ease of operations for MNCs, adding incremental fuel to an already strong growth cycle and supporting sustained demand for scalable enterprise-grade workplace solutions. In office, we already have 80-plus GCCs in our ecosystem, and we have aligned our strategy to capture this opportunity by moving up the value curve, strengthening our presence in Grade A and A-plus assets locations, and seeing increasing traction from mid-sized and large GCCs, with 500-plus seat clients now contributing to 36% of our portfolio. Our growing gold and elite center footprint and pan-India network position us well to capture both new GCC setups and expansion-led demand. At Office, we believe one of our biggest strengths is our ability to address demand across the entire spectrum of occupiers. On one hand, we are very well positioned to capture large enterprises and GCC demand through managed office segment, where clients are looking for speed, compliance, scalability, and long-term flexibility. On the other hand, we continue to serve small cohorts through our co-working segment, which remains a strategic part of our business. Importantly, Office is the only large-scale player in India with strong presence in small cohort co-working segments, catering to clients ranging from single seats to more than 100 seats. This is a highly operation-intensive business. It requires years of execution, capability, strong processes, and on-ground depth to build at a scale that we operate today. Office portfolio depth meaningfully reduces client concentration risk and enhances the resiliency and stability of our revenue profile. As we move forward, our focus remains unwavering to build the most agile, high-performing, and the future-ready workspace ecosystem in India. On the client side, we continue to enhance the experience through technology integration, superior design, and sustainable operation. Our aim is to position Office not just as a workplace provider, but as a long-term strategic partner that empowers businesses to scale with agility and confidence. Let me hand it over to now Mr. Sumit Lakhani, our CEO, to share Q3 FY26 operational highlights. Over to you, Sumit.
Thank you, Amit. Good evening, everyone. I would like to share with you the key operational highlights for Q3 FY2026. On the supply side, during the quarter, we added 8,000-plus new seats, bringing our total capacity to around 152,000 operational seats across 232 centers pan-India as of December 2025. When including centers currently in the fit-out phase and those under LOI, our total capacity now stands at around 177,000 seats across 257 centers, covering an expansive 8.6 million sq ft. Year-on-year, our growth remains robust. Operational seats and centers grew by 25% and 20% respectively. Looking ahead, we have a pipeline with signed LOIs for 11 new centers, adding approximately 11,000 seats and 0.5 million sq ft of chargeable area. On the premium workspace side, we now have 32 centers divided between 25 Gold centers and 7 Elite centers across some of the most prestigious commercial locations in the country. Moving to our supply pipeline, our expansion continues to be driven by a deep and high-quality managed aggregation pipeline, enabling capital-efficient network growth. Currently, we have 8 lakh sq ft of MA supply committed across prime micro markets. Of this, 4.1 lakh sq ft is already confirmed across key cities including Mumbai, Pune, Delhi NCR, Hyderabad, Chennai, and Kolkata. The balance, 3.99 lakh sq ft, is under advanced stages of closure, providing clear visibility for asset-light growth over the coming years. On the demand side, we signed contracts for 15,000+ new seats in Q3 FY26 and roughly 57,000 new seats since December 2024, reflecting a well-diversified revenue base. Approximately 64% of our occupied seats are taken by large corporates and MNCs, 25% by SMEs, mid-corporates, 10% by startups, and remaining share by freelancers. We are very happy to announce that we have 80+ GCCs in our ecosystem, contributing 21% of our space revenue share. During nine-month FY26, we closed 12 deals with GCCs and 11 more already logged in to go live between January to June 2026. Notably, multi-center clients account for 46% of occupied seats for us. This cohort comprises over 300+ clients with an average tenure of approximately 42 months, underscoring strong client stickiness. Within this space, 27% of clients operate in more than three centers, 15% across more than five centers, and 6% across more than 10 centers, reflecting sustained expansion within our network. The average client tenure has increased to 37 months, with an average lock-in period of 26 months, demonstrating strong long-term client commitments. Our client base remains highly diversified, with more than 3,400+ active clients as of December 2025. We are currently operating at an overall occupancy level of about 75% versus 73% last year, providing meaningful headroom for margin expansion and growth without incremental CapEx. Demand performance remains robust, with centers older than 12 months operating at 84% occupancy, reinforcing the steady ramp-up curve and the strength of mature centers. This segment is largely served through our asset-light managed aggregation model and supported by favorable pricing and higher OCs. It continues to be a highly profitable and scalable growth engine for Office. Despite the competitive nature of the market, we have continued to deliver profitable growth, reflecting disciplined execution and a differentiated operating model. Our strategy remains focused on mid-size mandates, complemented by select large engagements such as national stock exchanges. We are increasingly partnering with first-time GCCs, which tend to be highly sticky and long-term in nature. With a dedicated team systematically identifying and pursuing GCC opportunities aligned with our strategic criteria, we have strong confidence in the sustainability and scalability of our managed office growth. With India adding approximately 20-30 first-time GCCs every quarter, our existing portfolio of over 80+ GCCs, combined with long-standing relationships with GCC enablers and consultants across India, U.S., and Europe, provides us early and consistent access at the inception stage of GCC setups. This, together with our proven enterprise-grade execution capabilities, enables Office to capture a meaningful share of this growing segment. That concludes my update. I will now hand over to Ravi, our CFO, for the financial discussion.
Thanks, Sumit. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to everyone. Let me give you a quick overview on our financial performance.
our consolidated operating revenues stood at 382 crores, which is a strong growth of 20% on a year Y-on-Y basis. And for 9 months, FY26, it was 1,083 crores, which is a growth of 25% year-on-year basis. This was supported by a robust growth in our co-working and allied services business, which grew by 38% on a YOY basis. The operating EBITDA stood at 139 crores, a growth of 30% on YOY basis. The margin stood at 36.5%. And for a 9-month FY26, the operating EBITDA stood at 398 crores, again a growth of 39%, with EBITDA margins at a strong 36.7%. In Q3 FY26, PAT excluding exceptional items stood at 22 crores compared to rupees 15 crores in Q3 of last year. And for 9-month FY26, PAT excluding exceptional items stood at rupees 48 crores compared to 32 crores in 9 months of last financial year. On the normalized basis, which is adjusted for Ind AS 116 lease rentals and for Ind AS 109 and 102, the normalized operating EBITDA stood at 55 crores, a growth of 18% on a Y-on-Y basis for this quarter. For 9-month FY26, the operating EBITDA stood at 155 crores, which is a growth of 30% on a YOY basis. On liquidity, our position continues to be very strong with the net debt to equity ratio at minus 0.06% as at 31st December 25. This is all from our end. We now open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Girish Chaudhary from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, how should we look at the occupancies going ahead? This quarter has been 75%. Right, if you can give a bit of detail about what can happen to the occupancy. Because what I see is that the mature center occupancy has remained at around 84%. So is this optimal kind of occupancy in the mature centers? So the incremental ramp up has to come in from the centers which have been added in the last 6 to 9 months. So that's the first question.
Yeah. Hi, Girish. This is Sumit. So with respect to occupancy, as you would see over the last 1 year, the blended occupancy has increased by over 200 basis points from 73 to 75%. So there is a serious effort with respect to improving the occupancy. The way the new sales is happening and the kind of committed new sales has happened, we see a serious improvement around on occupancy buildup in the next 1 and 2 quarters itself, where we feel very optimistic around moving these numbers substantially. In terms of the occupancy for 12-month plus centers, internally, we think 84-85% is not the steady state. This can get increased up. We see couple of centers are taking a bit longer. So in the next 1 or 2 quarters, you would see even this segment getting an improvement by almost about 100 to 150 basis point.
Okay, very great. So this improvement you are expected to see in the coming 1 to 2 quarters, is that right?
Yes, because like I mentioned, the way we have visibility of signed seats pipeline, in the next 1 to 2 quarters, we are expecting improvement in both blended occupancy for the whole portfolio, as well as improvement around in the occupancy across the 12-month plus portfolio.
Sure. Secondly, on the overall pricing, right? What's the kind of price growth you're seeing like-to-like in the same centers? And also wanted to understand the margin trajectory going ahead in the co-working segment.
So, Girish, as we would have mentioned earlier as well, the pricing is a direct reflection of the overall micro-market rental at that point of time. So, even for a mature center, any new customer who is coming in that center, the pricing reflects the current micro-market rental, which in the last 1 to 2 years is higher. So, the customer ends up paying a larger price. For the existing customer cohort, our agreements, contracts have 5 to 7% kind of escalations being built in, where for small to mid-size cohorts and 4 to 5% escalations for larger size cohorts. So, in any case, for the existing client cohorts, the overall business model enables about 5% kind of escalation in pricing. So that's always built in, and that's the nature of the business. Does that answer your question, Girish?
The participants have left the queue. Move to the next. The next question is from the line of Yash Kislanchi. Please go ahead.
Good evening, team. Thank you for taking my question. The tenure bucket of greater than 24 months has not really changed in any material way, despite enterprise, MNCs, including SMEs and mid-sized corporates, making a bigger portion of your client distribution. So please help me understand the corporates, MNCs, or SMEs in your client mix. What cohort of seats do they usually prefer? What kind of lease terms are they signing? And how do you expect this mix to evolve in the future?
Right. So, if you look at the tenure bucket, the greater than 24 months tenure clients constitute about 73% of our portfolio currently. And 12 to 23 is 20%. I see from my vantage point, the way I see is I have seen this tenure bucket growing up significantly around over the last couple of years. Probably you may be referring to 1 or 2 quarters of data. I don't have that data handy with me. But if we look at over the last 1 to 2 years period, I have seen this growing significantly. And where we feel confident around is because we originally when we started, the overall tenure buckets used to be between 6 to 12 months. And now almost about 2/3 of the business, it is around more than 24 odd months. To your question around on what kind of preferences various kind of occupiers have with respect to various tenure buckets, it's more around on the cohort sizes. Generally, a larger cohort, let's say a 200, 300 plus seater cohort prefers to sign up for 36 to 48 months kind of lock-ins. And 48 to 60 months kind of, tenures, whereas shorter tenure customers end up signing up more between 12 to 24 months. It's a bit more agnostic between enterprises, SMEs, mid-corporates, and startups.
Yes, just to add to that, this quarter, obviously, the overall locked-in tenure has, for the complete portfolio, is now 26 months instead of 24. And the tenure for the overall portfolio is 32. And if you look at the greater than 100 seats, which typically is the larger cohorts, that overall locked-in tenure is basically 37 months. And basically, the total tenure is about 49 months. So there's been significant improvement as we see it in those two buckets as well. You also need to understand that a large portion of our portfolio, almost 45%, is less than 100 seats, and in that, obviously, there'll be a bit more, you know, lesser, you know, tenure.
Okay, understood. And yes, indeed, I was just comparing numbers from previous quarter. But, so I know you spoke about your blended occupancy improving because of increased sales traction. Please help me understand what is causing that increased sales traction. Is this something that in your offering that has changed, or is it something in the macroeconomic environment that you see changing that's causing the increase in sales?
So,
Go ahead, Sumit. Go ahead.
So primarily, this had been organic. If you would see the number of new seats sold, we have been doing, selling every quarter. It's broadly, organically increasing, every quarter. There is a significant level of, behavioral change, with, occupiers looking to prefer flex, and, that is continuing, and that's, probably why the demand is going up. Now, where you are seeing also some improvement around in blended occupancy is also a function of the aging of centers. Till about two quarters back, a lot of our centers were aged between 0 to 3 months, kind of a bracket. As that, profile of vintage of those centers became 6 to 7 months, they have started hitting, higher occupancies. We generally require about 9 to 10 months for centers to start hitting 80% plus kind of occupancy. So it's a function of both that a lot of our centers, which we opened during Q4 of last financial year, they were more without any kind of customers. They were pure speculative centers where we opened up a center and then we were waiting for or we were filling in the demand for those centers versus the kind of centers where you start with a new demand. So the overall cycle is about 9 to 12 months to hit occupancies. So currently, it's more organic. Market and demand over the last couple of years had been growing steadily with the more adoption of co-working.
Thanks, that's helpful. And just one last from me. Going forward, what proportion of your revenue from operations is expected from construction and fit-out business?
So roughly about 20% of the revenue is expected from the construction fit-out business. Currently, the split is about 83-17, but roughly this will settle in somewhere around 80-20 kind of a number.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants in the queue, please limit a question to one question per participant. Do you have a follow-up question? We request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Adidev from IIC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. The first question to Amit and Sumit is, could you help us and think what is going to be the end of 26 operational seats and a similar number for FY27 considering the pipeline which you have now? Yeah, that is my first question.
So, Adidev, the guidance for FY26 is somewhere around 32,000 seats for FY26. I would not want to comment on the FY27 guidance right now, which we will give as part of the revenue and the other financial metric guidance that we will provide in the last quarter.
Okay, so then this 152,000, right? 152,000 goes to around how much incrementally?
So we ended FY25 at 135,000 seats. So roughly you add another 30,000, somewhere around 166,000 seats.
Okay, so this quarter is going to be quite a few number of seats should open up, right? In this quarter.
That is correct. If you see the under fit out, right? The centers is 166 already, right? So these centers are already under fit out. So the 152 will be closer to 166 at the exit of FY26, March 26.
Okay. And sir, you alluded obviously that 20,000, you don't have to share guidance, but the overall 177,000, this is something we have clear visibility, means. Over the next 18 months, this should definitely come on stream, or how should we look at it?
we have clear visibility down to the center level. We know the name of the building asset where this will go live. So a complete clarity on that 177,000 feet.
Okay. Fine. The second question is mainly for Ravi. If you could answer the, just wanted a capex number, YTD, so this number is around 110 crores, right, in the 6 months. So what is the number for 9 months and 26? How much do you end, are you going to end up with? Yeah.
So for the 9 month period, the number is 159 crores.
Okay.
And we had given a guidance of 200 to 210.
The beginning
of the year, and we expect the number to be around that only.
Okay, so another 55-60 crores of capex. Okay, and just as a bookkeeping question, yeah, the net cash or on books as of December, you have that number handy?
Yeah, the cash balance what we have is around 95.
Yeah,
one second. Hold on. 96 crores. The cash balance in the books.
Okay. Including investments?
Including investments, yeah.
Okay, around 96 crores.
Yeah. 96 crores is the including FDs and, you know, the cash balance and whatever we are carrying.
Okay. And sir, just the last one. This taxation, are we out of it from the fourth quarter onwards? Do we move to a normal tax rate? There are still some losses and all which we can cover in the thing.
So we have a runway of one more year, Adidev, from here.
Okay. Another three or four quarters.
Yeah, we'll be out of it. Most likely.
Okay. Fine, sir. Yeah, that's it from my side. All the best. I'll come back in the few time.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vikrant Kashyap from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening to the team. My first question pertains to the seat addition. So the industry has shown a very strong seat addition during the quarter. While if you look at, we have added only 8,000 seats compared to around 11,000 plus seats same quarter last year. So where we went wrong this quarter, because the seats sold number are very high compared to what industry standards are. But in the terms of seat addition and also the share of managed seats, which used to be 65-67% is now 62% of the portfolio. So where the deferrals are and how we are planning ahead, because we had earlier guided for 40,000 seats in the beginning of the year. Now we are guiding for 32,000 seats. So can you please throw some more lights on that?
Yeah. So the original guidance for seat additions had been around 40,000 gross addition in a year, whereas we are now guiding around 32 to 33,000 seats to be added this financial year. See, it's primarily from a perspective that we don't need to add a lot of seats for our revenue growth. Our focus is more around on building blended occupancies for the current portfolio and run it that way. So we are taking a more balanced approach around on it because if you look at the last 6 to 9 months had also been a very peak commercial real estate cycle. And we are playing it very guarded and conservatively because we don't want to be stuck with signing up deals at prices which are not conducive for us in long term. So that is primarily, you know, one of the reasons where we had been a bit more conservative in the whole financial year with respect to our seat addition. Second, we had been balancing our overall blended occupancy along with it, along with the margins, because we don't want to be in a situation where we add up more seats and sit with a bit more muted kind of occupancy, which will have a negative impact on the overall margins. If you look at now, currently in our presentation also, we had given the complete pipeline of our seats, especially in the managed aggregation way. And the numbers and the kind of pipeline looks very promising. Third, if you see, our business model is significantly different than most of the peers. For most of the peers, they end up taking very large spaces. So the seat addition numbers becomes straightforward and their model is more around on straight leases. Our model is more hinged around on setting up mid-sized co-working centers which cater to larger number of clients around, and which we believe works in a bit better form, both from a capital light perspective as well as managing the risk perspective, and that's the model we follow. So there, the seat addition will always grow in a bit more organic way versus what the peers do. If I can take an example, it's more like building a retail banking group with doing some level of managed offices, could be some larger loans happening versus building a complete NBFC book. So our approach to life is build the business more organically on a brick by brick basis in a fundamentally right manner. So that's what we have been doing. My last point over here would be under, like if you go through our presentation, we've also given guidance around on how the seat addition is happening across various quarters. A lot of our managed aggregation seats have already been forward leased. We have signed up these buildings, which are brand new buildings, which will go live in the coming quarters. And that's the reason why this addition of seats in this financial year.
Okay, so second question is on your transform business. So for last two quarters, we have seen deferral in execution or maybe delay by the landlords in the handover. Still in the 9 months numbers, we look at we are down by around 10% on a YOY basis, and we are still 200 crore of pipelines. So could you please highlight what went wrong this financial year? Because you are growing very strongly in the transform business, suddenly everything is stuck, and the margin profile also deteriorated. So what kind of a steady run rate we can see, and what kind of margin profile if you look at in the transform business?
So the DNB revenue obviously should be viewed on a year-on-year basis. So Q3 FY26 was impacted, as we said earlier, due to the Grab restrictions in North. And this had three large client projects that obviously led to a revenue dip. The office and the construction fit-out has two revenue streams, managed aggregation, which is landlord spend, and the external client design and fit-out projects. The lower managed aggregation seat addition and 9 month period, obviously last year's impacted the revenue as that number came down. The second piece is that the external client pipeline is obviously very, very strong, and obviously seeing growth and obviously in this revenue segment and providing obviously a positive outlook going forward. As far as the margin profile goes, it's a fixed cost business, right? So as the revenue dips, obviously the margin will dip because the fixed cost of people continues even when your revenue might drop for a reason such as Grab or, reduction in the number of managed aggregation seats.
Yes, that clarifies. Thank you. One thing that you did very well that you have given the bifurcation of our base, gold, and elite models, and also would request if you can give a bifurcation of your co-working and managed enterprise models, bifurcation if you can from this quarter.
Sure. Happy to do that from the future. Right now, obviously, I don't have the data handy with me, but absolutely happy to.
No, so thank you very much and receive this support.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yashwardhan Agarwal from IIFL Capital Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, and thanks for taking my questions. Couple of questions from my side. So, initially we had guided for 30% growth in revenue and 30% growth in EBITDA. Does that still hold true for us?
So, if you look at the way the overall business is going, and from a co-working segment perspective, both the revenue guidance as well as the margin guidance we are beating. But as of 9 months, the design and build business, as Amit has explained, is an area where the guidance is not going as per plan. So, but otherwise, in co-working segment, both the margin as well as the revenue guidance, we are going as per the guidance.
Okay. And so coming on to the occupancy, it has improved year on year by 200 bits. But if I look at the occupancy of the new seats that we have added, so that has been dipping quarter on quarter. What is the reason that we are unable to scale up or ramp up the occupancy in the new seats that we are adding?
Can you explain how you are figuring out the occupancy for the new seats?
Sure, sir. I do have the data for total operational seats last year.
Right.
That is in Q3 25, right?
Right.
In that, the total operational seats are around 122,000.
Right.
I do have the number of occupancy of more than 12 months, that is 84%. Sir, I can calculate what would be the occupancy of those seats. There's the new seats that we have added this year, so current it's around 152,000 seats. Sir, on that basis, sir, I can, and the blended number is 75% is given. So 122,000 into 84% will give me the occupancy of the mature seats, and 152,000 into 75% will give me the blended occupancy. So, sir, this is how I have done the calculation. I hope that is
Okay.
okay with you, or else I can share it later on as well.
So, see, so the way I look at is the overall blended occupancy, the way it is working is couple of times there is a churn in our mature center also, and then the whole occupancy ramp up for that center also needs to do. I don't see, so when we, from our vantage point, the business is not working in a manner that the seats which we have signed up over last 12 months, that there is any slow ramp up of occupancy for those seats. It's more of a blended portfolio that couple of, you know, times even the mature center, there is a churn and it takes a bit longer time around on it. So we look at the occupancy right now more on a blended basis, and we feel that the centers we have signed up over the last, you know, since Q3 of last financial year, the occupancy buildup is happening as per plan.
Coming on to the churn, is that too high? Because if I look at a presentation from first quarter till third quarter, it is mentioned that we have signed 15,000 seats in each of these quarters, right? That is 45,000 seats signed. Versus if I see the change in total occupied seats, so that is coming around 16,000 seats. So is the ramp up happening too slow, or is the churn so high that on a blended level basis, we are seeing the occupancy lower than it could have been? What if the churn would be less?
No, it's more of a function that most of the seats were added around in Q4 of last financial year. That's why I mentioned in the first question also that I'm expecting in the next 1 or 2 quarters that the blended occupancy will grow significantly. See, it's also a function like a lot of seats get added in, let's say, February, March of financial year. Then we still have the new centers are in 7th or 8th or 9th month of, you know, operation around. So, even the seats, like 15,000 seats which we have signed up in this quarter, the client join-in generally happens within, you know, 60 to 120 odd days from the day they have signed up the seats. So, the actual occupancy come, there's a lag of almost about 60 to 120 odd days. So the centers where we have signed up or the centers which went live in Q4 of last financial year, we expect a ramp up in occupancy or the occupancy going up beyond 80% plus in those centers, let's say in Q4 of this financial year as well as, you know, Q1 of the next financial year.
Okay. And sir,
I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Agarwal.
Just one question, then I will come back in the queue. Sir, if I look at the depreciation per seat, that has increased meaningfully versus last year, versus our revenue per seat has been constant. So, what is the reason for depreciation increase? And sir, if it has been the more increase through straight lease model, so why are our margins not increasing in the same direction? So that is my question.
So, Mr. Agarwal, the depreciation has increased because obviously we have, you know, kind of focused. I mean, they're actually focused on the elite and, you know, the MO seats, what we are talking about. That has led to an increase in depreciation. Obviously, on the margin side, you will see an uptick in the, you know, in the coming quarters because these seats have been filled over the last one or two quarters. So this will obviously give an uptick in the margins profile. For these...
Got it, sir. Sorry, you were saying something?
For these seeds.
Okay, sir. I will come back to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshata Telisara from Ioneus Alpha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. The CAPEX number, correct me if I'm wrong, was 210 crores for 40,000 seats, and now you're guiding for the same number despite that number coming down to 32,000 seats. Is it largely because of the elite part, or there's something more to it?
So, you're right. If you look at in the whole 9 months financial year, the larger portion of seats which went live had been more on the straight lease side versus the managed aggregation seats, which are right now skewed for Q4 and Q1 of next financial year. Why we ended up doing a bit more straight leases, two reasons. One is we set up more few elite centers, where which came in more straight lease model, where the whole fit out capex needed to be done from our side, and it also has a higher capex as compared to our flagship product. Second, we saw significant traction in GCC business, where we set up new centers for these GCCs, and these the supply structure in these were primarily straight leases, and where we ended up doing our own fit out. So it's a function that in 9 months, the more nature of the business was around on GCCs as well as elite versus managed, typically our managed aggregation model.
Okay. And despite the occupancy jump, that hasn't really flown down to India's EBITDA margins. Would you only assign it to the transform business, or there's something beyond that?
The main reason for that is the transform business, because if you otherwise look at it, the margin would have certainly improved in the co-working business, but because of the transform business having a bit of a dip this quarter because of the reasons we explained earlier, it has had a almost negligible impact on overall EBITDA improvement in India.
Okay. And would you be able to share CAPEX for 27 right now?
I would not be.
Okay, sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siva from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is regarding office transform. On the last call, we had an update that we are expanding into a new segment of clients like retail, hospitality, and others as well. So could you share an update on how it is working out for us? And out of the pipeline that you mentioned, how much should do these segments contribute?
Sure. So I don't think we said that we would, you know, immediately, you know, move into these categories. The majority of the focus for us is on commercial workplace interiors, which we have done in the last 4 years since the business has been kind of incepted, has primarily focused on commercial workplace interiors. The plan was not to immediately go into these new segments, but as we subsidized this business, the idea was that this would give the leadership of that business the opportunity to expand into those avenues. Today, almost I would say 95% of the business comes from commercial workplace interiors. Even the pipeline that I mentioned earlier of almost 8 lakh square feet, 100% of that is in basically from commercial workplace opportunities. Obviously, the sectors are diverse. They are across industrial chemicals, across IT, ITS, across BPO, etc. But clearly, currently the business does not do any major, I would say, non-commercial workplace interior. We do a little bit of educational spaces that we have recently started, but that's about only 5%. Rest of the segments is negligible. These will develop over the next 2 to 3 years. Today, we have a market leadership in IT, ITS, and BPO, etc., these kinds of service offerings, especially under 100,000 square foot area.
we want to make sure that we continue to have a market leadership position in that space. And then obviously once we have established that, then expand into the other categories.
Yeah, I understand. Thanks for the clarification. And so my next question is regarding the investment that we made for furniture capacity. So we made a 7 to 10 crore investment, right? And do we have any update on the same? So what is the revenue potential here that we're looking at apart from captive consumption?
So we have not made any investment into the furniture manufacturing. Currently, all the manufacturing is through contract manufacturing. So there's almost negligible investment that has gone. There's actually zero capital investment, and there's very negligible investment that has gone into the furniture business. We will, in the fourth quarter, be able to give a more clear guidance for the furniture business, which currently is in a very nascent stage, but we have not invested anything in that business at all.
Understood, sir. One last question. So what is our refurbishment capex cycle looking like? So how many years do we wait until we renovate the property, and what is the capex per square feet for refurbishment?
So typically, if you look at our centers, the average tenure of a center is between 9 to 10 years. At a 5-year mark, we believe that at that mark, the center requires probably 15 to 20% of investment to refresh it for another 5 years. Essentially, every month we have what we call a repair and maintenance, depends on the center, age, etc. But it's basically enough for us to keep the center fresh for the first 5 years with that minimal investment that happens as part of the operating expense every month. Essentially, at the 5-year mark, there could be one or two things. One, we could obviously continue in that center. Sometimes we decide not to continue, but ideally 80 to 85% of centers, we look at a 10-year tenure. In that situation, at the 5-year mark, we do a 15-20% refurbishment.
Understood, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Sharma from Shikara Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Trying to understand the reasons why we reduced the guidance from 40,000 feet to 32,000. So one of the reasons you highlighted was basically we're trying to go slow in the larger seat format, the 500-seater. So is the understanding, that the understanding that we're trying to maintain a mix? So around 500-seater plus is currently around 36-odd percent. So are we trying to maintain a mix which is leading to a lower seat addition?
So I'll explain and clarify it a bit. We are not averse to signing up 500-plus seater clients. But as a business model, when we sign up a speculative center, so let's define a center where we don't have a demand day one. These centers, we prefer to sign up generally at 30,000 to 40,000 square feet kind of size. Very large kind of centers like 100,000 or 200,000 square feet, where the seat sizes would almost be, you know, 2.5 to 4 times of that. So by default, we look forward to more number of sites to be selected, more number of, you know, cities to be covered, more number of micro markets to be covered, because we love setting up a larger network. By nature of this, when we sign up these mid-sized centers, we get a mixed cohort. So our typical center gets cohort of, you know, one or two customers of 200 plus, one or two or three of 100 to 200, and lot between 1 to 100-seater cohorts. We love doing this site because the diversity of clients, the diversity of supply, the diversity of buildings, the diversity of locations ensure that we are able to run through any kind of macro headwinds for 10 to 12 year period in that center. Second, if you look at the other big advantage, what we see is we have a clear market leadership in 1 to 100-seater cohort, which ends up yielding better price realizations for us as compared to larger cohorts, and which is, so that's the kind of, you know, business we do. Now, this is a typical co-working business. For a lot of GCCs and large strategic clients like which we have disclosed earlier as well, like National Stock Exchange and a couple of GCCs, we have set up centers which are much larger, which are dedicated to them, and they are in the 500 plus or 1,000 plus seater cohort, and we continue to do it, but we do it in a more strategic kind of manner. What we see as a risk is if we grow a business very very large kind of dedicated centers for these larger cohorts, the challenge is that after their lock-in period ends, which could range from 36 months to 60 odd months, these centers are very, very customized only to that client's requirement, and the occupancy buildup at that point of time could have a negative impact on the P&L. Second, the refurbishment cost would end up being a bit more. So there we are a bit more strategic and a bit more conservative for doing back-to-back businesses. But this we are doing very seriously and very aggressively for first-time GCCs. If you would refer to our presentation this time, we had also given two case studies on how we are growing this segment of business, which in our industry is called managed office. With respect to the first-time GCCs.
Got it. Just if you could touch on that point, how are you strategic in the sense, like how do we circumvent these risks that you highlighted in the time with GCCs?
Sorry. Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
So we are strategic in a manner that we are very we select the customers with which whom we work and provide more larger kind of projects dedicatedly. So for whom we are setting up larger kind of contracts. So these are either these strategic clients with whom we have worked across multiple centers. So like one of the IT majors. We have probably delivered almost about 500,000 plus square feet for them across 5 to 6 different locations. So tomorrow, if they come back to us and they want us to even set up a 100,000 square feet center, we are very clear because we are aligned with the teams. We know their teams well. We know their strategy well, and we feel comfortable that they would be there with us for a long time. So these are a group of almost about 15 to 18 different large occupiers with whom we work. Second, case in point, a company like National Stock Exchange, with now whom we have a relationship across 4+ centers. Second, the segment of customers which is helping us grow this managed office business is the first-time GCCs. There we see a very strong stickiness which comes across with these GCCs. For them, a flex operator is the preferred choice because they are looking at us we add significant value for them in terms of execution of space, finding the space and running the space, and they want preferably one single player to run and manage the whole thing. And they end up giving a more longer kind of lock-ins to us.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we are taking it as the last question. I would now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Hi. So we thank everyone for joining the call today. We hope we have been able to give you a detailed overview of our business and answer your queries. Should you have further queries or clarifications, please feel free to reach out to SGA, our investor relations advisors. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.